Still to come, Sarah Custer Perry takes us back in time to find out what happened this week in science history. But first, naked scientist Mira Senthilingam spoke to our resident correspondent Kelvin Kem in Pretoria, South Africa, who's been seeing planes being shot out of catapults and with no pilot on board.
Yeah, that's right. It's a UAV, which is an unmanned aerial vehicle. The total weight of this thing is 30 kilograms. And the interesting thing is it's just recently done its first autonomous flight. And that means it's run totally on autopilot. Now, South Africa, in fact, has many years' experience of designing these types of vehicles that have been driven by a joystick, somebody sitting in a vehicle and flying the aircraft, something like a great big video game. But this is the first time one is run entirely on autopilot. This one, by the way, is called E-Juba. E for like electronic as an email, and E-Juba meaning big bird.
So how does this actually work on autopilot?
Well, you can actually take off with the conventional joystick sort of way, fly it along, and then have programmed into it certain GPS points or certain flying patterns, and then instruct it to go over to autopilot, which it then does by computer. And it can fly from one GPS point to another GPS point, or it can fly a particular pattern. What it means is that it can fly far away from the controller. It's only limited by the amount of fuel you're carrying, for example. Now, interesting enough, the type of thing that they've got in mind is to go and fetch blood samples from clinics that are far out in rural areas. Now, another interesting thing about this, if they keep the total mass below 30 kilograms, then by law, this is classified as a model aircraft. And that means it's much easier legally to maneuver the aircraft around and to land in certain places and so on. If it goes above 30 kilograms, it falls into a different legal bracket, and then there's more stringent requirements on it flying over built-up areas or landing and so on. Now, it's actually very easy for these people to launch. All they need is like a rubber band type of launcher.
So does it not need a runway as such?
It can use a runway, but where you don't have a runway, a reasonably ordinary catapult type thing can be provided. So all that's got to be done is sort of shot into the air to some degree, and then it will power itself and off it goes. It's then programmed to return to a particular hospital with this blood sample.
What about landing?
It lands on a runway, if there's a runway there, but it can also land into something like a catch net. And the aircraft can be aimed into the net, and at the last moment you cut the motor so the thing essentially falls into the net. So if it does land in some very rocky area or some bushy area where there's no possibility of a runway, then that doesn't prohibit it from being launched again with something like a blood sample on board and heading back.
Now, what would happen if something was to actually get in the way of its flight path, though? Would it be able to deal with such a situation?
You obviously can build radars into it and so on to make it avoid such things. Obviously, every extra bit of fancy technology you add adds to the weight. The ones that have been built in the past, South Africa has built some very big ones that have got all sorts of monitors on them, and they can watch the ground in infrared and with real cameras, and in fact in real time the operator sits in the back of the truck and can actually watch the ground and so on and so forth. But those are a lot bigger than this 30 kilogram size. So now they're in the situation where it's flying autonomously, and they've got to now make decisions as to exactly what do they put on it to keep it under the 30 kilos. The aeroplane itself is about 20, and that allows for a 10 kilo payload.
Okay, well, hopefully more of these aircrafts can be put in use to try and get blood samples from rural areas throughout Africa. Now, also at the moment, there seems to be what is essentially a large battery being built in the Drakensberg Mountains in South Africa.
That's right. There's a range of mountains, the Drakensberg Mountains, which are the Dragon Mountains, that run between the province of KwaZulu-Natal, which is the coastal province, and the more inland province of the Free State. There's a dam being built at the top of the mountain range on the Free State side, and then another one being built at the bottom on the KwaZulu-Natal side. The difference in height between these two dams is 470 meters, in other words, nearly half a kilometer, and they're about 6 kilometers apart. So what happens is the KwaZulu-Natal province has got a lot of water, but up on the top side, the Free State side, is got much less water. It's a much drier province. So during the course of the off-peak electricity periods, they pump water up from the KwaZulu-Natal side up to the dam on the Free State side. And there it sits with its potential energy 470 meters higher now than it was before. Then when peak load times come, like breakfast time and dinner time, they then let the water run back through the pumps, and the pumps go in reverse and turn into turbines and produce power of 1,330 megawatts, which is substantial. Now, they don't let all the water run back because part of the purpose is to supply water up into the Free State. So some of the water stays up there and then gets reticulated off as agricultural supply and household water and so on. When there's a demand for electricity that might suddenly occur, say, outside peak hours, it's a reasonably simple thing to do to stop the whole system pumping and then run it back down the hill again into generator mode.
When is this likely to be completed and actually in use?
The target for the first unit to come online is April of 2012.
Now, you mentioned that it would hopefully generate about 1,330 megawatts of electricity. What kind of things could that provide power for?
A medium-sized town uses about 150 to 200 megawatts. So what it does is it adds the amount of a sizable couple of towns into the grid when you need it.
So why was this idea developed?
Well, South Africa is running a bit tight on electricity at the moment. We actually made international news about a year ago when there were some rolling blackouts in the country. One of the problems that happens in every 24-hour cycle is that there's a peak requirement at breakfast time and a peak requirement at dinner time. And it's not a good idea to have a whole power station running only to supply an hour's or so's worth of peak at the beginning of the day and the end of the day. It's good to have something like this big water battery that can be used only during a 1 or 2 hour period and at the same time act as a water supply to the water-deprived province.
So this water pump not only provided electricity at crucial times, but also enables arid regions to have thriving agriculture. That was nuclear scientist and engineer Kelvin Kem in Pretoria talking to Meera Senthilingam.
The Naked Scientist Newsflash. Reacting to the world's best science.